Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again about spiritual opposition. It's a tremendous subject, of course, and it covers far more than we can even begin to touch on. Yesterday, we talked about the first of Satan's temptations to Jesus in the wilderness, that he should make bread out of stones, that he should save himself by a miracle. Now, you and I can no more live by feelings than we can live by bread. And yet I think it's a great temptation to go by our feelings, in the spiritual life especially. If we feel good about God, if we feel worshipful or religious or peaceful, then we figure that God's up there and everything's fine. When we don't feel good, then we're likely to feel bad about God and feel bad about our spiritual life, and we think our devotions are useless. And it's a temptation of Satan, really. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And I think it would not be amiss, it would not be irreverent to say, "Man shall not live by feelings alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." When we talk about living by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, this is, of course, the heart of our spiritual life. We have to be saturated in the word and indwelt by the word with a capital W. Jesus Christ is the word. Now, it's very easy to mistake feelings for spiritual life when our feelings happen to be good. Jesus did not yield to the temptation to accept what could not possibly give him spiritual life. What Jesus was interested in was obedience to the Father. The second temptation, Satan comes along and he says, "Okay, so man lives by the word, does he? So here's the word," and he quotes scripture. Satan is shrewd. Satan knows that he can get at us Christians by quoting scripture sometimes. And so he suggests that he should jump off the temple, the parapet of the temple. And he gives him a scripture verse. "He will put his angels in charge of you, and they will support you in their arms for fear you should strike your foot against a stone." It was not mere verbal authority to Jesus, but it was his very life that mattered. Satan was suggesting that Jesus should take this word of God and test it out. But Jesus' primary question was always, "What is the Father's will?" That was all that mattered. If the Father told him to jump, he would jump. He might be rescued by angels, or he might be dashed to pieces. Only one thing matters for you and me: obedience. I think I've mentioned before on this program the motto of the Coast Guard here in Massachusetts. My husband Lars and I live on the coast, and I learned that in every rescue station along this stern and rock-bound coast are posted these words: "You have to go out. You don't have to come back. What matters is doing the job. The Coast Guard is there to rescue people. They don't stand on the shore and try to figure out whether they can make it out to the ship that's in trouble and back again. They have to go out. They don't have to come back." If Jesus had jumped off the parapet of the temple, he would have done so not at Satan's urging, but at the Father's bidding. And he would have done so regardless of whether there was a guarantee that he would be rescued by angels or the possibility of his being dashed to pieces. And you know, it does come right down to where you and I live. There's so many things in life about which we do not know the consequences. If I homeschool my child, what will happen? Will it be better than schooling? Some of you may be agonizing over that very decision now. We don't know the answers. We simply have to trust God to help us to make the right decision at the right time. And then what? Then we leave the consequences in His hands. When I had to make the decision as to whether or not I was going to go in to live with the Alca Indians, the Ecuadorian Indians who had speared to death my husband and four other American missionaries back in 1956, I had no guarantee that my life would be spared, let alone the life of my little daughter Valerie, who was going with me. It was a clear case of having to trust God and having to walk by faith. There were no pillars of fire. There was no handwriting on the wall. There was no Star of Bethlehem to guide me. There were no spiritual feelings that were of any particular help. It was just a matter of laying the whole thing before God, surrendering my life once again, totally and unreservedly into His hands, and saying, "Lord, I'll do anything You say." I didn't know what the results would be. People have often asked me, "How did you know that the Indians were not going to kill you?" And the answer is, I didn't. I didn't know. But only one thing matters: obedience. The devil comes at us with all manner of suggestions, often imitating God, doesn't he? George MacDonald said, "Faith is that which, knowing the Lord's will, goes and does it, or, not knowing it, stands and waits, content in ignorance as in knowledge, because God wills." We have no business peering into the unknown future. That belongs to God. Nor ought we to be careless of the knowledge that He gives us, refusing the path of action because it looks hazardous. Very often, God points out a clear way, but we think it's hazardous. Perhaps it is. But so what? As C.S. Lewis says in his Narnia books, Aslan is not a tame lion. And Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is not a tame lion. But when the path of action is shown, when our duty is crystal clear, then the results may be guesswork, but so what? If you're contemplating something about which God has made perfectly clear He does not want, adultery, divorce, refusal to submit, dishonesty, even in the smallest thing, when you contemplate something like that, you know very well what your duty is. It's crystal clear. Yes, but it's going to cost me something. Yes, perhaps it will. Obedience very often costs us something. But Jim Elliot wrote in his diary, "Crucify doubt, go on, it shall be shown thee what thou shalt do." Let me just suggest in a very simple way, in a practical way, that you ask yourself this question: what does God want me to do? Do not ask the question, what will He do if I do so-and-so? As a young woman said to me, "Would it be okay to tell the Lord that I'll be a missionary if He'll give me a husband? Would it be okay to say, well, Lord, will You give me a husband? If You will, then I'll be a missionary." If God is asking you to be a missionary or to do anything else, it's not up to us. In fact, it would be an impertinence in us, wouldn't it, to say, well, what will You give me if I obey? It's a very rude thing, very impertinent thing for a little child to say, what will You give me if I obey You? A faithful father and mother who have taught their children the importance of obedience to their word will not answer a question like that. Sometimes it's proper and appropriate, I think, to offer a child a reward for something that he has to work toward. For example, if you manage to get a B in arithmetic, then we'll have your favorite meal that night or something. And the child has to work toward that goal. But if you say to the child, come here, and the child says, well, what'll you give me if I come? That's an impertinence. And so it is in us toward God. To say to him, well, Lord, surely you wouldn't ask me to do so-and-so. Will you give me a guarantee that everything will work out fine if I do? It's Satan's master stroke to deflect us from obedience. Jesus said to the devil, you are not to put the Lord your God to the test. It is not ours to reason why. It is ours but to do or die. And sometimes it's do and die, isn't it? I remember my Bible teacher, Mr. Maxwell, telling us about a lady who had come up to him and said, oh, Mr. Maxwell, I think I'd just die if the Lord asked me to be a missionary. And Mr. Maxwell said, do both. You have to die to yourself in order to do the will of God. Our job is obedience. Leave the consequences in the hands that were wounded for you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.